We're here to worship and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And at Grace Covenant Church, our mission is to be a people who are becoming disciples to make disciples. So one of the ways that Grace Covenant is engaged in disciple making is through the support of missionaries. And as you heard from Becca, this morning we have Jeff and Carolyn Stoker, who are covenant missionaries to Cameroon, who are going to be sharing with us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have them come up, and we're going to have a little question and answer time with them. I gave them some questions ahead of time that we're going to go through to help us get a feel for what their life is like there. And then I invite you after the service, while you are eating your donuts, to ask further questions in the fellowship hall. We'll have a microphone and we'll be able to sit down and ask more, because there's only so much one can cover in a short little 20-minute period. So could you just introduce yourselves to our congregation to start? Give us a little bit of information on your family.
Yes, okay. Jeff and Carolyn Stoker. We pretty much grew up in Southern California, but spent time over Carolyn in England, and myself, I come from parents who are British. So we grew up in Southern California, met in university, in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Group. And that's where we both felt called to missions. We have three children who are all grown now, who are in the United States. They all grew up and graduated from school in Cameroon, came back to university here, and they're settled down. Three kids ranging from 32 down to 26, and two boys and a girl.
And how did you get started as missionaries?
Well, it started with our both feeling called to missions when we were in, Jeff when he was in college, and mine was a little bit more complicated. I had an aunt and uncle who were missionaries, and their life intrigued me, and we visited them, and then eventually that sort of morphed into a call to missions. But that was while we were in college. So when we were dating, we were talking about missions. And then we determined that we needed to get some training. Neither of us are preachers or evangelists, so we knew that we were going to be using other gifts that God had given us for mission work. And so we moved to, I went to graduate school, and Jeff had finished his MBA and was working. And then we said, oh, well, now we better start looking for how we're going to serve in missions. And at the time, we were attending a covenant church, and so we thought, well, we might as well ask. But it's pretty small, and Jeff's sort of specialized as an accountant, and I'm a teacher, so probably they won't need us. But we wrote, and we got a letter back with the plan for our lives.
Yeah, that's awesome how God works in people with different gifts. Tell us about your roles at the school and a little bit about the school.
Okay, so the school we teach at is called Rainforest International School. It's in the capital city of Yaoundé in Cameroon. And Cameroon is, for those who kind of picture the continent of Africa, I know there's pictures out, cards out in the foyer, but it's sort of where on West Africa, where the large part, the hump ends, and the smaller part on the west coast. That's about where Cameroon is. So it has a small part on the Atlantic Ocean. So it's considered Central Africa. And Rainforest International School was started in the early 1990s by Wycliffe Bible Translators, or the name they're known by there in Cameroon, because they have a lot of Bible translation going on in that country, because there's hundreds of languages. It's one of those countries that, small geographical area. So the school was initially started for that purpose, and we had to evacuate from Congo, which is where we spent the first 10 years of our lives as covenant missionaries. And this was the closest school where some of our missionary colleagues who had high school and middle school age kids could come and send their kids. And so that's how we ended up there. We took those previous skills that we've been using in accounting and in teaching, and eventually I became the finance manager of the school, and Carolyn primarily became one of the main, if not the main, science teacher at the school, and eventually also moved into areas of administration.
What was it like to switch mission fields from the Congo into Cameroon? Was that an easy transition, or?
Okay. It had a few difficulties involved with it. You have to understand that we were in two completely different places. So our days in what was then Zaire were in a very rural setting on a mission compound and pretty isolated from the rest of the world in that there was no internet in those days there. There was no telephone service. There was shortwave radio. And you could send a message into the air because you weren't allowed to communicate across borders. But the people in the neighboring country where there was a telephone in the Central African Republic listened to the air. And so you could send messages to go home. And then we would listen at another time for them to be sending messages to the air, which might be responses to our questions or messages from other places. So that was quite different being in that rural setting. And then we moved to Yaoundé. And Yaoundé is the capital city. And even though we were on the outskirts of the town, it was quite a change. Our kids were used to sort of running around free, you know, summer vacation when there wasn't any school or when they were younger and they weren't in school. Pretty much they had the run of the mission compound and anywhere around. And if they went too far afield, so one of the neighboring Zairians would shepherd them back to us. If they wandered into the hospital grounds, they got shepherded back into where they belonged. And they, when we get to Yaoundé and there's a city, there's lots of traffic, they can't go anywhere. So that was quite a change. It was also a change because we lived right off of a main road, and in our first year in Cameroon, they closed that road a lot so that the president could drive on it, which involved putting up sharpshooters on roofs and things like that. And our kids, after having evacuated from the Central African Republic under a bit of gunfire there, were a little bit more shell-shocked every time they saw those kinds of things. So in that way, it was difficult. On the other hand, we moved into a welcoming missionary community, and we made friends, and that was good. And we've been there for now for 20 years, so.
What are, you have kids in the school that are children of missionaries, and also you have Native students there as well. Can you talk a little bit about how that works in the school and just what that looks like?
Yes, as I said, the school was started for missionary children and would not exist without that main sole purpose for sending us. But from the start, we had, again, to help enlarge the student population, you know, have a few more students. Having too few students in a class isn't a good thing. And so there is with the teaching the available classes that we taught, we were able to add some Cameroonian students, mostly whose parents wanted to eventually send their children overseas to an English-speaking school, whether it be in the United States or UK. So as you can imagine, those sorts of families were ones typically of greater wealth than the typical, you know, local Cameroonian student. So we kind of, we're a Christian school, so any of those families who would send their kids to our school understood that, and that as part of our curriculum as a Christian, we have chapel, we have, you know, everybody takes a Bible class. So a family had, you know, of Cameroon families sending to our school knew that, and so we've kind of, don't want to black and white, because we have some Cameroonian students who come from parents and they're quite committed Christians. A lot of them, I would say, were either Catholic or Protestant and would say they're Christians, but they had not heard a gospel message or understanding about personal relationship with Jesus. So how we, those students, well, they get incorporated into the life of, it's a Christian community at the school, all Christian teachers, and of course our missionary kids are in their high school, middle school ages, and some of them, you know, have not, they're in that process of making their faith their own. And so, again, they're in all sort of different aspects, from some coming in that, even right from the beginning, you know, they seem really committed to Jesus, and others who they've grown up, you know, in a Christian family. And so we have both discipleship emphasis on the kids who already are believers, but we also have a ministry really of evangelism and praying with other kids who've come to the school that they would come to know Jesus, and that that would be part of it. So there's both aspects, but we're able to work those things together and come together. And in some ways, it's what's been exciting over the years we've been there is more and more, it's less and less kind of, well, there's the missionary kids and then there's the other kids. But how we incorporate them together, and I think a little later we'll talk a little bit about how doing ministry together is really something that brings the kids together and really forms bonds in the school.
For those missionary families, having a school that they can send their kids to is a major blessing. Are there any examples that you can give us of what those missionaries might be engaged in the community?
Sure. The missionaries who are sending them their kids.
Yes.
Because not only do we have that, but we have our former students who are now back as missionaries. So we have both ends of that, so it has moved along. But the missionary kids that attend our school, their parents are involved in Bible translation. They're involved in church planting, depending on which group they're with. We have had people involved in quite a lot of economic development, a family who will run an orphanage for Cameroonian children, currently have a student there. There's a wide range of students, and their parents work in probably about 6 or 7 different countries around the area. It kind of depends from year to year on where there are, you know, where parents are, which countries are at war at that particular time. Unfortunately, civil unrest has been a rather major factor in life there. But then we also have, I teach with 2 students I taught on a regular basis. So actually, that's not true. It's 3 now that I have taught who have been my colleagues in school. So that's been, or more, as I start thinking about it, there are actually more than that. So it's really pretty exciting to have students that you taught become your colleagues. Now, they have a hard time transitioning from I'm their teacher to I'm their colleague, but we work on that.
Right, from Mrs. Stoker to a first name basis.
Well, we have a number of teachers in our congregation, as I told you, and I'm sure we have similar situations here. What was the next? What's the living situation for the kids that are at the school? You know, they're coming from other countries where their parents are serving. What is that like for them?
Oh, okay. My wife said, just a sidebar, if you're wondering.
Yeah,
we just decided, question, answer, we weren't going to try to sync individual pictures, but this has just been rotating through, you know, for those of you visual learners, to get a flavor of what the student body looks like in the campus and some of the ministries that we're involved in, kids are involved in outside class, so... Anyway, so back to, I've forgotten the question now.
As we see all those pictures of the kids up there, what is that living situation like?
Oh, yes.
And for kids to be that far from their parents?
So for the kids, there are presently 2 hostels or dormitories that kids live in that are right next to the campus, which is also where we happen to live at the moment. And so they typically have hostel parents, And we try to not have more than 12 at a time. And there used to be a third hostel. What's happened over time, particularly with the Wycliffe missionaries, is that as they get more involved in, instead of being themselves the main translators, is they've got more and more involved national translators and working in teams. When their kids come to the age, some of them end up coming into Yaoundé. And so, the father in particular often will make a lot of trips back, but they actually are able to then, kids still live at home with them instead of being dorm, living in the hostel. But for the kids whose families are out of the country or different parts of the country, they live in that setting. So it's sort of an expanded, large family setting with parents. And they do a lot of stuff together. And, they have devotionals as a big family would. And so that's the main way for those kids who are away from their parents. And I'd say they look forward to it. It's the parents, I think, find, for the most part, it harder to send their kids away to school than usually the kids are kind of excited, especially if they've grown up in a fairly isolated area where they've made friends, but not of their, other missionary kids' friends on a regular basis. So they really like coming and living in the dorm situation.
And these are middle school and high school students, right?
Yes. So it's a lot of the missionary families don't send their kids to school until ninth grade. So it's up to the parents. They can send them as early as seventh grade, but more of our seventh and eighth graders tend to be kids who are living with their own families in Yaoundé, although some send, but most of those families send their kids just for the high school years.
As we see the pictures up there, that obviously looks drastically different than Little Falls. Can you tell us a little bit about the culture in Cameroon and language and religious background of the people?
So the Cameroon is maybe I'll mention religions first. So it has probably the largest one grouping would be Catholics, and then there's also, I'll use the broad term Protestant, because different missions went and planted churches in different parts of the country. So there's a mix of Protestant, ranging from full gospel to Presbyterian, Baptist, and it varies partly with the part of the country, but also there's a mix of them. And there's also, particularly in the northern part of the country, there's Muslim population. It's probably the further north you go towards, as you think of Africa, the further north you move, tends to be transition from nominally Christian or more animistic to Muslim. So in our country, we have a mix. And we're thankful to say that those leaders in our country, it's not like in Nigeria, which is the country next to us. Many of you know probably they've had a lot of problems there. You may have heard of Boko Haram, which is very extremist Muslim groups, and it's not to say that, it's all, but there's more religious tensions. And again, a lot of those religious tensions you hear about are really more cultural or tribal, and so it's kind of hard to separate. It's not really a religious war so much as it's tribal, but then the religious traditions that they've accepted. So that's the religious culturally. Maybe mention briefly, they've had a ruler. They have elections, but the same man gets elected over and over again. So he's, I'm not sure, I think he's in his 70s now, or is he getting on to, so he's been the president since the 1970s. So the politics is fairly stable for the most part. And is there's been lots of civil wars in countries around. I think people, a lot of them, I would say, tolerate the situation because things can often get a lot worse and better when those sorts of things take place. So we're fairly stable with the exception of one part of the country, which is too complicated to go into now, but maybe we'll mention it in the next group.
You mentioned, Carolyn, that you are a science teacher, and Jeff, you manage finance for the school, and I understand you teach sometimes as well. And when you're married, you know, being in a missionary setting, you know, it's a partnership. So how do you feel like your personal differences help complement each other, and how do you work together?
Well, there's one obvious way in the school that that works is that there are, well, let's just say the school would rather that we weren't married to each other because when we leave, there's a gigantic hole. So when we're on a uniform assignment, which we are at the moment, not only did they lose their finance manager, but I'm pretty much the fill-in administrator for any other administrative position in the school. I have held every one of them, I think, except for the finance manager, because if I'm there, Jeff's there, so we don't need to do that. So we complement each other in that way, but we also complement each other in that we have differing styles both in the classroom. Came into it as a teacher. Jeff came into it as an accountant. So I appeal to one sort of student more than the others. The kids, let's just say that Jeff is a pushover sometimes in the classroom.
She's got the classroom discipline part down. Myself, I rely on the fact that we have good kids, and they all kind of take advantage of me, but
they don't take too much advantage of him because they're afraid that if they push too far, I might find out about it, and then they might find out that there was a saying going around 1 year, which wasn't really true, but it did, and it paints kind of the wrong picture. But it was funny in that they said, "Mrs. Stoker is stricter than God," which it actually wasn't such a bad thing because I also am probably, of most of the teachers, one of the most loved teachers in the school. I have kids writing me on Facebook constantly and sending me things. So we have a lot of kids in our home as well. We both happen to love sports, and we also happen to have access to satellite television, which for our students means soccer games. And our living room is often crowded for important soccer matches, including the Cameroon national team playing, for which the country shuts down, with students filling the room and knocking on our door saying, "Would you happen to be watching tonight?" So those kinds of things help to just build relationships.
Yeah, I would say any of you, if you've worked with a spouse on the same job versus other worlds, it's probably some of the same dynamics. Now, because she's been in administration and one of her jobs has been discipline, sometimes it's kind of awkward because, I mean, she doesn't come home until, just like as a pastor would, you know, have confidentiality with parishioners, you know, we have to watch that. I mean, I don't know some of the issues, you know, that are going on, and I don't want to know any of those issues, fortunately, but the working in the same school, you know, praying together and having a vision, it's exciting to be able to share a ministry together, and yet we do stay in our own worlds. When we don't tend to work that well together, if it's we're just the two of us on a project, we're better having our own domains within the school, but then having the same vision and love for the kids in the school.
Can you share a couple of stories of ways that you see God at work through the school and through your ministry?
You were going to do that about the ministry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me which story you want me to tell.
Okay. Well,
I'm 25.
Right. Well, we're... just any of the stories, yeah, where the kids are working together in ministry that you usually tell.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll give you two quick stories here. The first one has to do with a young lady who was in my small group. So we have small groups that are an optional activity after school. On the other hand, there's no other activity at the time of small groups. So you don't have to choose between sports practices. The coaches can't start sports practice until after small groups finish. So that allows athletes to feel like they still can be involved in small groups. But I had a girl who was in my small group in her freshman year, and she is a Korean missionary kid, and she is very interesting, and she was always excited about learning about the Lord, but she was also kind of more excited about secular music and a few other things like that. But we had a good relationship, and she really wanted to know more about what God was doing. So by the time she got to her 11th grade year, she was in a small group with a colleague of mine. And the girls were having an overnight movie watching evening, and they were watching, you know, chick flick after chick flick. And at one point, Janet said, "Why don't you just watch this 20-minute video with me that I found online that I downloaded?" And it was about human trafficking. And Janet showed them that video, and the girls in the group thought, "Wow, we didn't realize that this was happening, and that it was even happening in the country where we live." And this group included some Cameroonian girls as well. And so they decided that they would start doing some fundraising and so forth and see what they could do. Well, this one girl, Grace, was really touched by that. And she started to study and to pray about it and start to look for an organization in Cameroon that might be interested in that kind of thing, or working with women who had been trafficked. And she came across an organization that did that, and she learned that the UN had this Blue Heart, which was their symbol for trafficked people. And so she decided that she would raise money to try to help trafficked women from Cameroon. And she put together what she called a Blue Heart Music Night. And she walked around, and she got lots of students, a few outside people, who were musicians of various types and abilities, to sing and put together an evening of music, which she could use as a fundraiser. Then she went around and got all the, especially missionary women, because Cameroonians don't tend to have ovens and things, and to get them to bake stuff for a silent auction, a dessert silent auction, and then invited the entire school community and anybody else that they could find. She ended up getting lots and lots of people to come out to this Friday night event. Lots of students participated in a great variety of ways in that, and they raised a fair amount of money. But not only did they do that, but the kids grabbed that vision, and this position as the Blue Heart coordinator is now something that's passed on from one 12th grader to the next as they go from year to year. And in this last year, they have found a really good organization that works with women, a Christian organization that works with women who have been trafficked, because women who have been trafficked are not accepted back in Cameroon easily, and they're pretty much ostracized from their communities. So returning isn't really a great option either for most of them. But this group is involved in training and providing them with livelihoods. So that's been a really exciting thing to see, not just Grace caught with this vision, but having it caught by the rest of the school so that they want to be involved in that. And that then led a Cameroonian young man who was interested in reaching out to decide that he wanted to have the school get involved with an orphanage. And then this last year they collected food, clothing, all kinds of things, and they had a great party, and there were pictures of those up on the screen with these Cameroonian orphan kids who came to the school for an afternoon. They played games, they had snacks, and for most of them, they received the first wrapped package they had ever had in their life when different people had donated gifts for each of those children.
So that's two of 25 stories.
There are lots.
That Carolyn has. So I encourage you, if you have more questions or want to hear more stories, to come after. As part of our wrap-up, how are there things that we can be praying for you, or other ways that we can stay connected or get more information on your ministry throughout the year?
Let me answer the last question first. We any of you who would like to get like our email prayer letters directly, church should have been receiving it, but I'm not sure how it's distributed. But you know, with electronics, we'd love to have you sign up, and we'll add you to our list. And there's blogs that also get posted up on a regular basis for staying connected. And if someone would like to become a pen pal with us for the church and get to know you and stuff, we'd love that too. So if God's putting you on that heart, that would be. And we have prayer cards available also, but I see you have pictures of us as well. We weren't aware of that, but we did bring our prayer cards too. We'd be love to have you distribute. In terms of praying for us, so we are going back now and anticipating of this being our last 4 years. We've been overseas for 31 now, and we will be retired. We'll be coming back. I'll turn retirement age after our four. Next time we're home, so we'll be back here. So in terms of us getting, we're leaving in about 3 weeks. Short term, you could pray that we would get everything wrapped up well and the crazy packing at the end and saying goodbyes to family and friends. My parents in particular are 90, both 93. Praise God that they've been with us this long, but you know, whenever you're leaving family and elderly parents, that's on our heart short term. But in terms of us not praying for our specific roles in the school, but part of what we have always done, again, is led a small group or mentored one-on-one. And as the kids graduate, you kind of go through those new cycles. So you could be praying with us that God would lead us to which kids in particular, or kids that God would have for us to invest in even more than, you know, the general kids. And whether however that works out, we're praying that God would lead us in that way. And also what our role is with some of our younger students is that we've gotten older. We're quite not as appealing to the students, at least for myself. I found they'd rather have some of the younger guys who are very active and whatever. And but we're seeing more and more role with mentoring also some of the younger teachers on staff. So that's a prayer request, personal. The school is also struggling, as it often does. We say, are we well enough staffed? And usually the answer is, well, if everybody who's felt called to come could, but there's always seems to be, it's hard fundraising. And so some people that are supposed to be coming this year are still trying to raise enough money to come. And if they're not able to at the start of the year, that puts extra burden. Particularly, Carolyn's going to have a very heavy teaching load this year if one person doesn't make it for that reason. I think I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, we have reached our time for the service, but we will have more time afterwards. And if you have questions that you want to bring to them, I'm sure they'll have their own stories to share as well. But I'd like to just end with a quick time of prayer for you, and then we'll go from there. Lord God, we thank you for the ways that you are at work in the world, at work here in Little Falls and at work in Cameroon through the work of Jeff and Carolyn. We pray that you help as they prepare to go back for perhaps a final term there, help them to tie up loose ends, and give them just the peace about going back, pray for their ability to get reconnected as they return with students that you are preparing to place in their lives, and teachers that you want them to be working with and mentoring. And pray also, God, for funds for the teachers that are looking to get back or to get there, that you can be a great provider in that way for the school. Thank you for a chance to hear these stories, Lord, of the things that you are doing and the ways that you are working in the world, and we ask that you continue to bless the Stoker's ministry in Cameroon through their various roles, and have that blessing extend through the other missionaries that are there and as they support the work that you are doing to build your kingdom here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen.